You've heard somebody say, you remember the old commercials that when you watch on Saturday morning, they're trying to get you to eat right, and they say you are what you eat?
Very bad.
Well, I think that's also very true, can be very true in a spiritual sense. Because we often are what we think. Jesus said in one passage that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We are what we think. You know, I was studying, and I was sitting in my office, and Linda had been in the hospital, and I was just thinking, what's going to happen now? What are we going to do? And I'd already been thinking about the way I spend my time, the things that I think about, and what are, you know, how should I best be spending my time? I ended up spending some time just cutting out. Because it wasn't that I was doing anything bad, just that I was wasting a lot of time on things that didn't matter. So the Lord was ready to teach me the next lesson, I think. And then I remembered this verse that we're going to study here in a minute, and I went to look at it, and I had this great sermon all worked out and took notes on what I was going to say, and then I went to study the context and realized, well, I can't say that. That's not what it says. I mean, there's other places in the Bible that say that. It's not a bad thing to say, but that's not what that says. So, all right, let's go ahead and see what it says. Still, it's not a bad message, and I would like to talk about it just briefly. So, just do a little exercise here. Make sure I've got the right thing on the screen. Yeah. You know, this was taken at homecoming, and Linda was busy, so I was trying to caption the pictures. And obviously there's a problem with that, right? I'm having a hard time figuring out who's in these pictures. I'm looking at this one, I'm trying to figure out who's in this picture. Well, there's one obvious person that's in the picture, but I can't really figure out who else in the picture. But there's this one thing in the middle of the picture, I'm trying to figure out what is that thing I'm looking at. I finally figured out, oh, that's John Hatt. Well, there ain't nothing else I can see in that picture, but I know that's John's hat. So I finally just captioned the picture, featuring John Hatt. So, how many of you know that it's just about impossible to change your thinking? If there's something you don't want to think about, it's just about impossible to not think about something by trying not to think about it. So I don't want you to think about John's hat anymore. Don't think about John's hat. Trying not to think about something doesn't work very well. We all know that when we're trying to change a habit, we've got to replace it with something else, right? Yeah. Trying to stop a habit without replacing it with something, we end up going back. And so, when I started reading this passage about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, well, maybe it takes more than changing your, maybe it takes more than thinking to change your thinking. Maybe it takes doing to change your thinking. So as I started looking at this passage, Paul just starts listing out all of these different things, all these practical things that you can be doing that'll help you in the process of transforming by the renewing of your mind. And what do? We do what we can. Isn't that the message that we keep preaching? Do what you can. You know, we're all facing challenges. Some of us are facing more challenges than others. And in this difficult time that we're facing right now, You know, I'm proud of Linda. She couldn't be here today, but she did what she could. She helped me get the PowerPoint together. Right. Wasn't perfect, but hey, it would have been a whole lot worse if I'd done it myself. So, we're gonna look at this this chapter. And the first, you know, again, context. Context is so important. Because I had this great message all worked out, and then I looked at the context and realized, well, first of all, you got to look back. There's an and. All these little words. We memorize these verses, and we leave out these little words like they're not important. Romans 12:2 starts with and. And we'll get there in a minute. But it starts with and. Well, wait a minute. That means there's something that came before it. Well, if you go back to 12:1, it starts with therefore. Well, therefore, okay. What's the therefore, therefore? Well, chapter 11 talks about the redemption of Israel. And then it winds up with an exhalation. I don't know if that's a word or not, but just talks about the greatness of God and who he is and what it is that he did. How from the beginning of time he prepared a nation. How he prepared a people. All right, what y'all thinking about?
That hat.
All right. Let's read the word together. And I'm going to start back in chapter 11 so that we can kind of get just a little sense of what that therefore is there for. And I didn't get to practice this very much, so hopefully I won't chop it up too bad. Oh, the depth and the richness. All right. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How incomprehensible are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given in advance to him and will be paid back to him? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory for eternity. Amen. Therefore, well, this is hard to keep all in sync. Therefore, I exhort you, brethren, through the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, as is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may approve what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone who is among you not to think more highly of yourself than one ought to think, but to think sensibly as God has appointed a measure of faith to each one. For just as in one body, we have many members, but all the members do not have the same function. In the same way, we are all many. We are all many. We who are all many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, but having different gifts according to the grace given to us. If it is prophecy, according to the proportion of our faith. If it is service by service, if it is by teaching, if it is one who exhorts by exhortation, one who gives with sincerity, one who leads with diligence, one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Love must be without hypocrisy.
Click it to the next one.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Got behind.
There you go.
Sorry. Abhor what is evil. Be attached to what is good. Being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Esteem one another highly in honor. Not lagging in diligence. Being enthusiastic in serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Enduring in affliction. Being devoted to prayer. Contributing to the saints. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Pursuing hospitality. I like that. Pursuing hospitality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to back up here. We should be on 12:1.
Yes.
Because I want to talk about that therefore some more. Because. Therefore, because. You can translate that in modern English. We don't use therefore so much. We would say because. Because of what God did. Because he prepared the nation. Because he set history in motion for this purpose. Because he has redeemed us. Because he is Almighty God. Because he is who he is. This is why. Because he is the great God, Yahweh. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. How do you have a living sacrifice? Isn't the nature of sacrifice that something has to die? But that is, in fact, the picture that Paul paints back in chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read one verse. Romans 8:13 puts it this way. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." There is a death. There is a sacrifice that we do daily in our lives. We do have to die. We die to ourselves. Jesus said the same kinds of things. There is a sacrifice going on. Our physical body doesn't die immediately. We're not laying on an altar. But we are making decisions every day to put away those things that are not good, put away those things that are harmful, and say, "Lord, I am devoting myself to you. What I want is not as important. Is not important. What you want is important."
Amen.
Paul says, "This is your reasonable service. This is not something that is." This is not something that's unreasonable. This is not, we're not asking something, God's not asking something of you that is beyond the pale. After all, he gave his life. He gave everything he had for us. This is your reasonable service. But, lest this sound too harsh, understand something else. Look at the beginning of that verse. How is it done? Through his mercy.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that the Lord has been showing me, and it's been one of the hardest lessons for me to learn, because it's counterintuitive. How can it be that I am responsible before God to do what I know to do, and yet, at the same time, how can it be that it's not up to me? It's a hard concept for our performance-based mentality to get our head through. But that's what the Lord is finally getting through. Through what He has done in our life, through what He's done in my life, that's what He's finally getting through my thick skull. It is not up to you. Yes, you are responsible. You are responsible to live what you know. You are responsible to use what God has given you. But don't labor under the weight of somehow it is up to you to accomplish the results. That if things don't happen the way that you think they should, if God has given you something and you think, I've got to do this, you think, I'm just going to give you the example out of my own life because it's all I got. You know, I was 4 years old the first time God said, you're going to be a preacher. Wow. I tried to reinterpret that 50 different ways because it wasn't happening. And I didn't really think that there was any way it could happen because I'd been messed up every way I could think of. I mean, been through a divorce, you know, preachers didn't do that. I mean, some of the denominations I was had, you know, been briefly affiliated with, you couldn't even, that was the automatic disqualification right there. And just, you know, that I could name off all kind of reasons why that wasn't going to happen. So maybe that wasn't what He really meant. It meant something else. So I tried to redefine the word, or maybe I didn't even hear God. Maybe that was just me trying to be like my daddy. But you know what? It wasn't up to me. Because God said it. God said it, and He did it. And you know what? It didn't matter how many things I did wrong. I could not mess it up. And if God gave you something, you cannot mess it up.
Yeah.
So just do what you know to do today. If God has given you something, run with it today. If you mess up, if you fall down, get up and keep going. Repent and get on with it. God loves you. This is not quite where I meant to spend so much time, but this is important.
That's right.
This is what God's been showing me.
Okay.
So, how do you be conformed versus transformed? Or being conformed versus transformed. You know, the way this particular translation is written, I chose this particular translation not because it's particularly wonderful, although I'm growing to like it. I'll tell you the one reason I like it so much is primarily because of what they've done in the Old Testament. I've mentioned to you how much I like the use of the Lord's name, Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is it's confusing. It's confusing when you read the Old Testament. If they don't actually translate it that way, it makes the reading confusing in places. Well, this particular version actually uses Yahweh every word that is supposed to be translated that way. So it's become a quick favorite of mine. It's not as important in the New Testament, but I've just started using it. But this particular translation says, don't be conformed to this age. Well, is this age, that, you know, this age when he was writing, It's not the age that we're in now, but is it really so different? People really haven't changed. People are still people. The world is still the world. So what is the difference between being conformed to the age that you're in versus being transformed? We can either think the way that the world thinks, or we can think the way that God thinks. And there's a difference. We can renew our minds by thinking and doing. So Paul starts to give us, I think, some very practical things. And he just starts showing us how to live. I think it's more than just changing our thinking. He wants us to change our actions.
Amen.
And as you start actually changing your actions, it's kind of hard to change your actions without changing your thinking, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a whole package. So we start up starting verse 3 here with attitude. Attitude of humility. And I noticed the first thing that he says, it's because of the grace that's been given to me that I can say these things to you. Now, if anybody had a right to be boastful or arrogant, in fact, in 2 Corinthians, he actually finally does say some things about himself because he needs to make a point to get some people under control. But he's saying, look, I've received a lot of grace. I mean, this is a guy who used to persecute Christians.
Yeah.
This is a guy who went around trying to kill Christians.
Yeah.
The guy got a hold of him and changed his life, turned him into one of the greatest evangelists ever.
Amen.
But he's saying, look here, I've received a lot of grace. So I can say this to you. You're nothing special. Everybody's received something from the Lord. Don't think of yourself any more highly than you ought to.
Right.
Contrast this to the way that the world wants us to think. The world wants us to think of ourselves first.
Yeah.
The Lord wants us to put ourselves in front of everybody else.
Right.
And make ourselves the most important thing. And always be promoting ourselves in front. But he says, no, God has given something special to everyone. It's not the same something. Everybody's got something different. And the way that we use these things is they all work together. And we use our gifts together to make the body work. And there are different ways that we can do that. I know at one time we brought a spiritual gift test in here and did that. And that's fine. I mean, God gave man wisdom, and that's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you what I honestly believe. I think that the best way for you to find your spiritual gift is just get out there and do stuff.
Amen.
Just get out there and do stuff. And you know what? You'll find your spiritual gift. You don't need a test to tell you.
No.
Just get out there and find things and do them. And the Lord will make it clear to you. You may not ever have a name for it, but you don't need a name for it. Just find the thing that blesses your heart to do and be doing it.
That's right.
And do it with a pure heart.
Amen.
You know, he just gives a few examples here. You know, if you're a giver, give it like you mean it. If you're a leader, do it well. If you're a person who is merciful, do it with cheerfulness. You know, my wife and I have both been in the hospital, and I think by and large we had good nurses. But I tell you what, I have seen at least a few that I'm thinking, oh Lord, don't come near me, please.
Oh, Lord.
No, Not everybody who's in a position to offer mercy is necessarily merciful.
That's true.
But just use the gifts that you have and use them with sincerity. And you will find yourself being transformed. And now we move on to my favorite subject. And I sure hate that I missed Pastor's message on my favorite subject. And didn't have any way of recording it. But our love must be pure. There's echoes here of 1 Corinthians 13 in this passage. But to abhor those things that are evil, to cling to those things which are good, to be devoted to each other. You know, it's easy to be devoted to each other, to be loving to each other, when the person that you're devoted to and you're loving is nice. It's a little harder maybe when they're having a bad day and they're not nice, isn't it? But you know what? Sometimes we have bad days and we're not nice. Those are the times when there's a special blessing involved in just keeping on doing what you know you need to do and holding out for those better times.
Amen.
Because you know the Lord is there and you know the Lord will reward you. Diligent and enthusiastic. Diligent and enthusiastic. You know, most of us have to work at that. I've known a few people that don't have to work at that, don't seem to have to work at that. Most of us have to work at that. I have to work at that. I would not consider myself an enthusiastic person by nature. But these are attitude things. These are attitude things that have to do with choices that you make, sometimes on a minute-by-minute basis. Something new happens. I know it's that way for me at work. I have to make a decision sometimes almost that bad, almost minute by minute. I hit a key and something happens and, okay, Lord, I got two choices here. I can either let something come out of my mouth that ain't nice, or I can praise you that I have a good job and that I have technology that works at all, that I can even do this job and pay the bills and do everything that needs to be done, and we can move on. Those are the decisions that we have to make. It's part of that process. Rejoicing in hope. Enduring in affliction. Being devoted to prayer. Where does our hope come from? Our hope comes from Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
It is because of our hope in Jesus that we can endure affliction. And prayer is essential. And I'm going to tell you something during this time. It's a shame. I wish, you know, we would be able to deal with these times of trial a lot better if we would be in prayer more before they happen. But I tell you what, I have certainly done more praying in the past few weeks than perhaps in the past year. Because it drives you to it. I thought about it, trying to do a song that has become special to me this in the last couple of weeks, but I don't think that I could. Because the last time I tried to do it, I was walking down the road to the hospital. And you know the song, every blessing you pour out, turn back to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to start crying right now. I start trying to sing that song. I was singing that song and crying, walking toward the hospital. Because that's where I've been. Blessed be your name.
That's right, amen.
Paul just continues to give advice, you know, wraps it up with contributing to the needs of the saints. Just more things that we can do. Pursue hospitality. And I love that way he puts that. Now, not just be hospitable, go after it.
Amen.
Go looking for it. We could go on for a couple more chapters here, but obviously we don't have time to do that. So I'm gonna wrap it up here. Just by saying that we are to be in a transformation process, right? That's what sanctification is all about. And it does start, he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that starts by rejecting what the world says. The world says it's all about me. But listen to what God says. God says, no, it's all about me.
Right.
We can't focus on what not to do. We can't focus on what not to think about. We've got to focus on His Word and on Him. And what we want to do, we've got to focus on Him, on loving Him, on serving Him, on having that relationship with Him. That's how we move forward. That's how we be transformed. That's how we know, and I missed this somehow as I was going through this. It talks about that you may approve what the will of God is. I know that those of us who really want to serve Him are constantly looking for that. How, Lord, how do we know your will? How do I know what you want? How do I know your will? It's right in there. It's right in there. These are the things that help you know the will of God. He's got a whole list here. And it's all through His Word. Immerse yourself in His Word. Immerse yourself in prayer. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It goes beyond what we think about to how we live each day and what we do with ourselves. So I'm going to leave you with that. I hope that in the midst of that it was something helpful for you today.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for all that you've shown us in your Word. I thank you that you've given us this wonderful writing that shows us that's still alive after all these years that you have used through your Holy Spirit to show us how to relate to you, how to have a relationship with you that's dynamic. Mm-hmm. That even through dark ages when most people didn't even have it, when it comes to light and becomes readily available again, people can pick it up and people can understand and learn once again how to relate to you and how to have a relationship. It's a wonderful thing that you've given us in your Word, and we thank you so much for it. We thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah.
Lord, we give ourselves to you, and we ask you to show us in a real way, show us today how it is that we can daily transform our lives by the renewing of our minds, as you say in the Scripture, that we may serve you better, that we may become the people that you want us to be, that we may become a transforming force in this world as it draws to a close, Lord.
and bring more people into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And we've had